You're listening to the Holy Bible One Year Challenge with Master Storyteller Michael Wood, featuring the easy-to-read version and used by permission from Bible Week International. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to day 216. We're continuing in the book of 1 Chronicles. And David is walking around his palace, just admiring how beautiful and how awesome it is. And then it's almost like his conscience gets to him and he stands there and thinks, hey, I'm in this incredible palace, but the box of God's agreement, otherwise known as the Ark of the Covenant, you know, this is where God lives. It's in a tent. Why am I in a palace when the box of God's agreement is in a tent? So he starts to put in motion a way to build an incredible temple to house the box of God's agreement. But God has something to say about this. And then David has a chance to respond. So you'll want to stay with us to find out what is said. And we are beginning the book of 1 Corinthians. I will be giving a more detailed introduction later in this episode. But Paul will basically be addressing some of the division and disagreements that are happening in the church of Corinth. If you enjoy the show, visit me at patreon.com/storymaster. You'll find the link in the description box below. By contributing as little as $1 per month, you will enable me to continue this ministry, and you'll get cool rewards too. Together, we're going to get through the Bible in 1 year. Let's get started. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 37 to 43. Then David left Asaph and his relatives there in front of the box of the Lord's agreement. David left them there to serve in front of it every day. He also left Obed-Edom and 68 other Levites to serve with them. Obed-Edom and Hosah were guards. Obed-Edom was Jeduth's son. David left Zadok the priest and the other priests who served with him in front of the Lord's tent at the place of worship in Gibeon. Every morning and evening, Zadok and the other priests offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar for burnt offerings. They did this to follow the rules written in the law of the Lord, which he had given Israel. Haman, Jeduthun, and all the other Levites were chosen by name to praise the Lord, singing, "His faithful love will continue forever." Haman and Jeduthun had the job of blowing the trumpets and playing cymbals. They also had the job of playing other musical instruments when songs were sung to God. Jeduth's sons guarded the gates. After the celebration, all the people left and went home. David also went home to bless his family. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. God's promise to David. After David had moved into his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Look, I'm living in this beautiful palace made of cedar. The box of the Lord's agreement sits in a tent." Nathan answered David, "He must have a plan in mind. Go ahead and do it. God is with you." But that night, God said to Nathan,
"Go and tell my servant David that this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build a house for me to live in. From the time I brought Israel out of Egypt until now, I have not lived in a house. I have lived in a tent that has been moved from one place to another. But in all my travels with the Israelites, I've never complained to any of the leaders that I commanded to care for my people Israel. I have never said anything to any of them about building me a house made of cedar. Now, tell my servant David that this is what the Lord All-Powerful says. I took you from the fields and from taking care of the sheep. I made you the leader of my people Israel. I have been with you every place you have gone. I have defeated your enemies for you. Now, I will make you one of the most famous people on earth. I have chosen a place for my people, the Israelites, and I've settled them there. I've given them their own place to live, so that they will not have to move from place to place anymore. Evil people will not hurt them as they did from the time that I chose leaders to rule my people Israel. And I will also defeat all your enemies. I promise you that the Lord will make your family a family of kings. When you die and join your ancestors, I will choose someone from your family, one of your own sons, to be the new king. And I will make his kingdom strong. He will be the one to build a house for me. And I will make sure that his kingdom continues forever. I will never take away my love and support from him as I did from Saul, who ruled before you. I will put him in charge of my people and my kingdom forever. His family of kings will never end.
Nathan told David about the vision and everything God said. David's prayer. Then King David went to the holy tent and sat before the Lord. David said, "Why am I so important to you? Why have you blessed my family so much? We are not worthy of all that you have done for us. This would be more than enough, Lord God, but you have already said that you want to do much more for me, your servant. You have spoken about a great future for my family. Lord God, you talk about me as if I am a very important person. What can I say? You have done so much for me. You honor me, your servant. Lord, you are the one who decided to do all these wonderful things for me and to let me know what you have planned. There is no one like you, Lord. You are the only true God, as we know from all that we have heard about you. And there is no nation on earth like your people, Israel. They were slaves, but you took them out of Egypt and made them free. You made them your people. You did great and wonderful things for them and for your land. You forced other nations and their gods out of the land to make way for your people. These are the same people you freed from Egypt to be yours. You took Israel to be your people forever, and you, Lord, became their God. Now, Lord, never forget these promises you have made about me and my family. Please do what you have promised. Then your name will be honored forever, and people will say, 'The Lord all-powerful is the God of Israel.' And with your blessing, the family of your servant David will continue to rule forever. My God, you have let me know what you have planned. You said, 'I will make your family a family of kings.' That is why I, your servant, have the courage to pray this prayer to you. Lord, you are God, and you have promised to do these good things for me, your servant. You have been kind enough to bless my family so that they will stand before you and serve you forever. Lord, you yourself have blessed my family with a blessing that will continue forever." First Chronicles chapter 18. David wins many wars. Later, David attacked the Philistines and defeated them. He took the town of Gath and the other small towns around it from the Philistines. Then David defeated the Moabites. They were forced to accept David as their ruler and pay taxes to him. David also fought against Hadadezer's army. Hadadezer was the king of Zobah. David fought against that army all the way to the town of Hamath. David did this when he went to set up a monument for himself at the Euphrates River. David took 1,000 chariots, 7,000 chariot drivers, and 20,000 soldiers from Hadadezer. David also crippled most of Hadadezer's horses that were used for pulling chariots, but David saved enough horses to pull 100 chariots. The Arameans from Damascus came to help King Hadadezer of Zobah, but David defeated and killed 22,000 Aramean soldiers. Then David put fortresses in the city of Damascus and Aram. The Arameans came under David's control and paid taxes to him. So the Lord gave victory to David everywhere he went. David took the gold shields from Hadadezer's army leaders and brought them to Jerusalem. David also took many things made of bronze from the towns of Teba and Kun. These towns belonged to Hadadezer. Later, Solomon used this bronze to make the large bronze basin called the Sea, the bronze pillars, and the other things made from bronze for the temple. King Toi of Hamath heard that David had defeated the whole army of King Hadadezer. So Toi sent his son Hadoram to King David to ask for peace and to bless him. He did this because David had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him. Hadadezer had been at war with Toi before. Hadoram gave David gifts made of gold, silver, and bronze. David took these things and dedicated them to the Lord, as he had always done when he defeated other nations like Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and the Amalekites. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, killed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. Abishai also put fortresses in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's servants. The Lord gave victory to David everywhere he went. David was king over all Israel. He did what was right and fair for everyone. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was the commander of David's army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, wrote about the things David did. Zadok and Abimelech were the priests. Zadok was Ahitub's son, and Abimelech was Abiathar's son. Shavsha was the scribe. Benaiah was responsible for leading the Kerethites and Pelethites. Benaiah was Jehoiada's son, and David's sons were important officials. They served at King David's side. 1 Corinthians, an introduction. Corinth was a famous city in ancient Greece that had been destroyed by the Romans. But in 44 BC, the Roman dictator Julius Caesar saw how important the city could be, so he ordered it to be rebuilt in the Roman style. Because of its location, the city soon became very wealthy. Over 100 years later, the Apostle Paul lived in Corinth for about 18 months. By then, Corinth had become a successful but sinful Roman colony. Paul told people there the good news about Jesus and helped start a church. The book of 1 Corinthians is a letter Paul wrote to this church several years after he left. The Corinthians had sent a letter to him. They asked for his advice about some questions they had. In this letter of 1 Corinthians, Paul answers these questions, and he deals with several other issues that he knows are troubling the Corinthian believers. In the Corinthian church, faith in Jesus was mixed with traditional Greek and Roman beliefs. These beliefs included the idea that rich or important people are the only ones who matter. So there were some believers who thought that poor people and slaves were worthless. They felt no need to help them. Many people in Corinth also believed that only a person's soul or spirit is important. They thought that the physical world is evil. So the idea of a body being raised from death was senseless to them. The idea that the body is not important led people to different beliefs. Some people decided that it doesn't matter what people do with their bodies, so they thought that there was nothing wrong with having sex with a prostitute. But others decided that only the soul is important to the Lord. So they thought that followers of Jesus should not have sex at all, not even with their husband or wife. Paul had also heard bad reports from others about the church in Corinth. They were wasting time arguing with each other. There were also some believers who were criticizing Paul. They thought he was too low class for an apostle because he worked with his hands, and they did not like his plain style of speech. Paul replies to all these wrong ideas, and he accuses the believers of wandering away from what he had taught them about following Jesus. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the church in Corinth that the wise people in this world really are fools, and that church leaders should not be proud. Sexual sin and lawsuits against each other must stop. Being married and being single are both gifts from God. Followers of Jesus must learn to use their freedom for good. They must show respect and concern for everyone in their meetings. God has gifts for every believer to help them serve others. Jesus is being raised from death to life. It is our only hope, and that they should prepare for Paul's visit. Let us begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. This letter is from Paul, an apostle chosen by Christ Jesus. He chose me, because that is what God wanted. I write with the help of our brother Sosthenes. To God's church in Corinth, you who have been made holy, because you belong to Christ Jesus. You were chosen to be God's holy people, together with all people everywhere who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you, because of the grace that he has given you through Christ Jesus. I mean that through him, God has blessed you in every way. Your people have been blessed with all kinds of gifts, gifts of speaking and gifts of knowledge. This proves that what we told you about Christ is true. Is there any gift you don't have? No, you have every gift you need while you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to appear. He will keep you strong until the end, so that on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, you will be free from all blame. God is faithful. He is the one who has chosen you to share life with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I beg all of you to agree with each other. You should not be divided into different groups. Be completely joined together, again, with the same kind of thinking and the same purpose. My brothers and sisters, some members of Chloe's family told me that there are arguments among you. This is what I mean. One of you says, I follow Paul. Someone else says,
I follow Apollos.
Another says,
I follow Peter.
And someone else says, I follow Christ. Christ cannot be divided into different groups. It wasn't Paul who died on the cross for you, was it? Were you baptized in Paul's name? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. I am thankful because now no one can say that you are baptized in my name. I also baptized the family of Stephanas, but I don't remember that I myself baptized any others. Christ did not give me the work of baptizing people. He gave me the work of telling the good news. But he sent me to tell the good news without using clever speech, which would take away the power that is in the cross of Christ. Proverbs chapter 19, verses 3 through 12.
Fools ruin their lives, and then they blame the Lord for it. Wealth will bring you many friends, but become poor, and your friends will leave you. A witness who lies will be punished. That liar will not escape. Many people are nice to a generous person. Everyone wants to be friends with someone who gives gifts. If you are poor, your family will turn against you, and your friends will avoid you even more. You might beg them for help, but no one will come to help you. Be a friend to yourself. Do all you can to be wise. Try hard to understand, and you will be rewarded. A witness who lies will be punished. That liar will be destroyed. A fool should not be rich, and a slave should not rule over princes. Experience makes you more patient, and ignoring insults brings great honor. The shouts of an angry king are like a roaring lion, but his kind words are like a gentle rain falling on the grass.
Thank you, everyone. That was day 216. Join us for day 217. We're continuing in the book of 1 Chronicles. And in chapter 19, we hear about the Ammonites, who shame David's men. But then Joab comes along and destroys the Ammonites. We hear more about those Philistine giants that are killed. And we always hear about those final sins of David when he decides to count Israel's people. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul explains God's power and wisdom and answers both the Jews who want miraculous signs and the Greeks who want wisdom with a message from Jesus Christ. So if you were ever wondering, what exactly is Paul's message? He lays it out very clearly in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We hope you enjoyed today's verses. Be sure to leave us a positive review and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Please join us for the next episode as we experience the Bible in 1 year.
Did you know we offer online courses in creative writing, literature, and web design? Visit us at storymaster.online to learn more.